Blog Talk Radio.
You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Andrea, and I'm your host, Andrea Garrison, here on Blog Talk Radio. And whether you're on the phone line, on the internet, on a podcast, listening, chatting, blogging, listening to us live, or reviewing one of our archives, we are so happy to have you with us. For those of you who'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-426-3895, and I won't promise, but we may open up the phone lines later in the show for those of you who choose to call in, if we have time. And for those of you who like to chat, please join our chat room. It is open, but you must be registered with Blog Talk to chat in our chat room. Our topic tonight is Get Your Voice On, a Celebration of Women, a carefully orchestrated and uniquely fortifying 36-hour event scheduled for New York City on March 1st and 2nd in 2013. And our guests this evening are the co-founders of this event. Welcome, Michelle Mattia, and we have Jennifer Wilkov, who will be here shortly, we hope. She's stuck somewhere. Correct, Michelle?
Yes. Hi, Andrea. It's Michelle. It's great being here. Yes. It looks like she got stuck getting out somewhere, so I know that she will be dialing in very soon.
Yeah, and hopefully, I think I said Wilkov, and I should have said Wilkov, correct? I think.
Yes, Jennifer Wilkov. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so hopefully she won't be upset with me.
I'm sure she won't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll improve as the conversation gets on, you know, all the different names and all. But I was excited hearing about your event. But if you could tell me a little bit about your journey, just to give us, you know, our audience some background on you, because your background is so interesting. And you could also tell us a little bit about Jennifer as well, since she's not here.
Okay, well, sure. A little bit about, it's so funny. It feels like, I don't know if you remember when you were learning about how to create your resume, and you were told initially that your resume couldn't be more than one page. And if it was more than one page, no one would be interested. And what happens as we grow and our journey just gets more and more filled, it's not one page anymore. And I will be 44 this July. And when I look back on where my journey has taken me up until this point, there's just so much richness. I grew up all over the place, and primarily, though, in Florida. I've been living and working and playing in New York City for the last 16 years.
I love how you say living, working, and playing.
Absolutely. I think that, you know what, though? And I think that's important. I think we need to remember, even as adults, that it is okay to play. We need to give ourselves permission to play. In fact, one of the best, and I'll tell you this just as a side note, one of the most favorite things I love doing when I'm doing workshops and working with quote-unquote adults is I break out the crayons, and I'm like, color, draw, and at first everyone looks at me like I'm crazy. They're like, why is she having this?
Yeah.
But then, like, I give them 5 minutes, and the 5 minutes goes by so fast, and then they look at me like, well, wait a minute, I'm not done. I'm like, see?
You know, that's interesting because adults don't feel like they can play sometimes, right? We get so caught up into that adult thing.
Absolutely. We get caught up and we have to be responsible. You know, there's so many things we have to do. I'm not a child anymore. And, yes, we do get wrapped up in that. But when I moved to New York City, I actually moved here to work in technology for MTV. Up until that point, I've been doing a lot of different things. I went to a liberal arts school in Florida, and there were so many things that I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to write, and I wanted to travel, and I wanted to just work with people, but I could never really define any one area that kind of fit all of me. So I was bouncing around a lot. And I remember at 18, though, before I even went to college, I said to a cousin of mine at a summer barbecue, I said, you know what, one day I'm going to live and work in New York City. And sure enough, 16 years ago, a lot of stuff really changed for me. I went to New York City. I landed in the, here at like 11 o'clock at night, January 30th, not knowing anyone. And the next day was my first day at MTV, MTV Network.
Are you kidding? Wow.
Yeah. And what was interesting, for those of you listening who are familiar with Manhattan, it's very easy for roads to be closed for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's a street fair. Sometimes it's a race. In this case, at 11 o'clock at night, a water pipe burst, and I couldn't get to the housing that my consulting firm who hired me, placing me at MTV, was going to put me up. And the taxi cab's like, where do you want me to drop you off? Because I can't get anywhere near where you need to be. And the only place I could think of that would be open at 11 o'clock at night, as far as I knew, was the Empire State Building. And so I got dropped off at the Empire State Building, went to the top, freezing, had my luggage with me, and I just walked all around the observatory outside. And I kept putting my quarter in so I could see the various views. And, of course,
right.
I recognized the Statue of Liberty, and I recognized Ellis Island, and I recognized the area where Central Park would be, and I recognized Madison Square Garden, but I didn't know anywhere else. I mean, I'd never lived in New York City. I'd visited numerous times, and I have to tell you, even to this day, on the anniversary of living here, I go to the top of the Empire State Building.
Wow.
Just to kind of celebrate. And, you know, and working at MTV was wonderful. I met so many amazing people. I grew a lot. I had a marriage begin and end. And during that time of working at MTV, I decided, hey, you know what? I'm really not digging how corporate America works, not so much MTV Networks, but the consulting firm that placed me there, and myself and two people that worked for me decided to start our own technology consulting firm.
Ah, well, you know what? It looks like Jennifer Wilkov is here. Let's hope I pronounced her name correct.
You did. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm terrific. And yourself?
I'm fine. So we're going to let Michelle continue. Michelle is telling us about herself, and she was going to cover for you, but now she doesn't
now
have
I don't
to.
Need to.
So,
yeah,
I had asked her to just share with us a bit about her journey, and so
great.
She's doing that.
So I ended up starting this technology consulting firm. We specialized on the Macintosh side of things, which meant we got to work with wonderful creative industries, interesting people, filmmakers, TV, advertising, PR, and I owned this business for about 12 years. And again, during this time, you know, I was with someone, we were together for 10 years, we got married, and Andrea, I'm sure that you've been there, I know Jennifer's been there, where everything in your life from an outsider's perspective looks great. Everything,
right.
You know, I had a successful company. My marriage from an outsider's perspective looked great. I was able to travel, all the things that I thought would make me happy, yet there was something missing.
Right.
Something big hole. And what started happening, interestingly enough, is all these things in my life, because what I kept putting out to the universe is, I'm not happy. I'm meant to be doing something different. And looking for guidance. I really went within looking for guidance. Well, my husband at the time asked me for a divorce. I know. And as he did it in a very loving, supportive way, announcing how, you know, letting me know, and by the way, I haven't been in love with you for a very long time, and I want a divorce. And I'm like, wait, thank you. That helps. And so, you know, the company that I owned that was successful, I was not in sync with my business partners. They were great. I was great. But even though, again, something looks good on paper, it doesn't mean that your values and mission and vision and priorities are in alignment, and that matters. So during all of this, as you and I discussed earlier, even before the radio show, I was born talking. I've talked from the moment I came out, and I knew that if I was going to figure out the rest of me and what I needed to be fulfilled and to live a life that I love, a life that I knew I deserved, I needed to shut up. And I went to a silent retreat. I went to a four-day silent retreat in Connecticut in the middle of winter. And again, I owned a technology consulting firm. There was a time, Andrea, where I slept with my laptop and my cell phone.
I'm sure.
You know, because I really thought, gosh, how is the world going to survive 24 hours if they can't reach me? I left all of the technology at home. I went away on this four-day retreat. Prior to this four-day retreat as well, I had an opportunity to meet this really empowering five-year-old little girl named Layla, who at the time was in remission from leukemia, who she'd been diagnosed from age two. And she and I were having quite the enlightened conversation, and where I was telling her all the reasons why something might not be possible that she wanted to do, her question to me was, I don't understand why you're afraid of something you don't know is going to happen. Hmm. And she's five, and at the time I was 37, and I went, I don't know. And so I began this journey, which actually started with silence. And I recommend it. If you've not had an opportunity to attend a silent retreat, do so. It is so empowering, because what ends up happening is you hear that guidance. You hear your heart. You hear that message. And it's scary, because usually that requires us to step outside of our comfort zone, to step
now,
outside.
Now, I'm a little bit confused. The whole retreat was quiet, but yet you had met the...
This is prior to going on the silent retreat.
Oh, okay.
Layla.
So Layla was before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually at the silent retreat, you're actually quiet the entire time?
The entire time. You do not speak to anyone at all. No one. And so there's a lot of meditation. There's a lot of... Now, there is somebody that is running you that will run a silent retreat that will kind of give you assignments and things to do, but it is all in silence. And usually these retreat centers are very... welcoming and very nurturing and filled with a lot of really great space and energy. And during those 4 days, I kept asking myself, what would you do now if you knew you could not fail? What would you do now if you knew you could not fail? And all of these things started coming up, and I knew I needed to get on with my divorce. I knew that it was time for me to leave this business that I had owned for over 12 years, even though it was successful. And I knew that my job was to get my voice out there and to give back and to work with people and to make a difference. And by the time that four-day retreat was done, I had created a personal mission statement. I had created a vision. I had an idea of what I wanted this logo to be about as far as life design and the design of the whole of who we are, that balance of mind, body, and spirit, of knowing that we deserve to live a dynamic, malicious life. And we can do so without apology. And so I had this all written out, and it took 2 years for this all to unfold. But I'm so glad that I took the courage, because it was scary. It was scary. It was during a time not too long ago when everything on the news was about the economy and how everything was horrible. And, you know, owning a successful company in technology, everyone's like, Michelle, you're crazy. Why would you leave that? Technology's not going anywhere. But I knew that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing.
And then the thing about it is, quite honestly, you could always leave and you could really go back if it was something that you really wanted to do, right?
Well, that is definitely an option. And the thing that is different then than it is now, back then, I wasn't a mom, you know,
right.
I did, you know, and I wasn't in the wonderful marriage that I'm in now. And so what ends up happening for a lot of us, that it's time for us to make that journey, to do that transformation, to have that transition.
Right.
A lot of times I think we are afraid to even dip our toe in it, because we have created this whole list of why it's not possible and it can't happen right away.
Right.
We have to let go of that whole time thing.
Because
well, you know, it's
the...
interesting because a lot of people are stuck and they stay stuck, if you know what I mean, because they're afraid. It's like at least, you know, here I'm stuck, but I know where I'm stuck. And
well,
I know,
you know
that
what?
I'm stuck. But to actually, yeah, it's hard to get out of, to step out of that and say, you know what, I'm going to go for the future and something different. It's a very challenging experience, and I'm sure it was challenging for you, but you were brave, you know, very courageous, and you did that not only, you know, in your work life, but in your personal life. Everywhere. It's like you did a major transformation and you did it all at once. And all of that coming out of silence.
I know, right? No, and you're right. And I love how you put it as far as staying stuck. Jennifer and I speak about this quite often in talking about, you know, the Get Your Voice On event is many of us are comfortable with being uncomfortable because we understand it. We know
right. We
know the dynamics. We know how it works. We know what it looks like. We know what it feels like. Stepping outside of that comfort zone, stepping out on faith and not having control of what it's going to look like is scary. But the alternative is you stay unhappy. And, again, transformation doesn't happen overnight, and it's okay that it doesn't. You can take those tiny steps, just dip your toe in the water and try it out. If I were doing it now at 43 with a 6.5-month-old, it would look very different, but it would still be a wonderful journey that was mine to do.
Yeah. It's just you got to get to that point. You know what? I'm stuck, and I'm not moving anyway. So, you know, I might as well try something different. At least I'm moving, you know?
Exactly.
I'm in
motion.
So that's really powerful. That's a beautiful story, actually.
Thank you.
And Jennifer, did you have anything else you wanted to share about your journey, Michelle, before?
No, you know what? There's so much, but Jennifer's story is equally powerful, and I actually love hearing it. So I would welcome Jennifer to share hers.
Yeah, Jennifer, your story is amazing from what I read. And you almost ended up on Rikers Island, and we're glad you avoided it. But if you would just be so kind and just share with us about your journey as well.
Actually, I did go to Rikers Island. I didn't avoid it. my story really on the Get Your Voice On side and my personal story really starts when I was 3. I was one of those kids that basically didn't know that I wasn't supposed to speak up.
Oh,
so
you didn't?
Since I was 3, I mean, basically, one of my mother's favorite stories is about me just randomly going up to a stranger, sort of every mother's biggest nightmare, and saying, "Hi, my name is Jennifer. What's yours?" And, you know, I've never stopped doing that. But one of the things that I've found is, like when I was in the corporate world and I found that I had a disconnect with the company that I was working with philosophically, I spoke up and said, you know, I'm not going to be able to do my highest and best work here, and I am going to take another job somewhere else.
Wow.
And I was wise enough to say that out loud to people so that they would understand why I was leaving and that I was doing it for my own good, but also for the good of the company, because there's no way, I knew that there was no way that I could work in alignment with the company if I didn't share their philosophy and their objectives. And that's why I spoke out. And I know a lot of people are afraid to do that, and I understand why. But when you get your voice on, you know, Andrea, things change. And that's how things change. And I changed my professional world to things that I found to be more resonant with me as I went along. And some jobs I had for years, like 7 years, and other jobs I had for 2 years.
Right.
One job I had for 4 months. Because I was honest with myself, but I was also honest with them. And that's really what Get Your Voice On is all about, is not only being true to yourself, but also speaking up and speaking out for what it is that you're interested in, want to be involved in, want to talk about. Now, for me, I was also a certified financial planner, and when I was in that role, I was referred an investment And I went to my compliance supervisor and I spoke up and I asked for guidance, and that was his job. And unfortunately, I was not given the guidance and supervision that I was paying for, and I didn't know it at the time. So I actually followed his guidance and advice as I was supposed to. I filled out the industry forms he asked me to do. He signed off on them, and I was told I was on my own. And those investments were real estate investments that the firm didn't work with, but we had to record them according to the NASD rules, and we did.
Right.
And I referred them. I also invested in them. My family invested in them, and they turned out to be a scam. And I'm the person that ended up finding out it was a scam. I did not know that they were at the time that I invested or anybody else did. Clearly did not know. And I was the one that walked into the Beverly Hills Police Department. I was the one that wanted to report it to the authorities. And unfortunately, what ended up happening was the DA's office and the New York Police Department ended up on my doorstep. And somehow they ended up folding me into a criminal charge of fraud against me. And really, I learned so much about the criminal justice system in New York and how it doesn't work the way that I thought it was supposed to work, the way I learned in fifth grade, Andrea.
Oh,
and
God,
it all
yeah.
fell apart for me. I mean, literally, my criminal defense attorney threw me under the bus, told me to plead guilty to a crime I did not commit clearly. And then in my sentencing hearing, he withdrew at the very first moment of that hearing before the sentencing began. Here he was. He had told me to plead guilty. I followed his direction because I didn't know enough about the legal system at that time. And then he withdrew his representation and said he didn't want anything to do with me. And I then read a statement very wisely into the record and asked for my plea to be withdrawn. I stated that I had clearly been misrepresented in this case and that I wanted a two-week adjournment, which, by the way, Andrea, is my Sixth Amendment right in the Bill of Rights. I get to choose the attorney of my choice. And the judge, talking about breakdown of the criminal justice system, the judge said no. She said, you're going to Rikers today. And she pointed to the same attorney who had just said he didn't want anything to do with me and asked him to stand in so she could sentence me. And he said yes, and she did, and she told me I could appeal when I get out. And from that moment, I went to Rikers Island as an inmate for 4 months. And it was like going into hell. It was like going into a foreign country, like Alice in Wonderland. I mean, literally everything I had known in my entire life was removed from me. I mean, literally. And I checked into Rikers Island with no address. I had a storage unit of what was left of my stuff. And I came out of Rikers Island with a storage unit and no address. And I totally took on the fact that I wasn't going to allow them to crush my spirit. You know, they could take everything from me, but there was no way that they were going to take me away from me. And that's what I talk to people about all the time. I tell them and I teach, Andrea, that you have the right to remain fabulous. Nothing about me changed except what these people were saying about me. I was still just as fabulous as I had been before this happened. In fact, I was a decorated financial advisor at American Express Financial Advisors. I was actually given an award the December before this all started as the advisor and practitioner of the year in my branch. That's how decorated I was.
Yeah.
And I was given that award by the same compliance supervisor. Now, here's the thing about getting your voice on. I knew that I was innocent. And what I did when I came out, one of the first things I did, and I had help, is we put up a website that actually talked about my story and actually told people what had happened to me. Now, I was incarcerated in 2008. The deputy editor for Marie Claire had gotten wind of my story, and she came to me and requested an exclusive on that story and asked me to write it with her. And I did. And that article appeared in the April 2009 issue, nationally and internationally, with Marie Claire. And Marie Claire ended up submitting that article for one of the most prominent magazine awards in the industry. And we won. We won the Silver Eddy Award in 2009 for that article about what had happened. So that was 2009, and I was interviewed on television and all, you know, newspapers and what have you, radio. But here's the kicker. last year, 2011, I was pulled into a hearing, another hearing, in the financial industry. There is an organization, which is the governing body, which is called FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority.
Right.
And in that hearing, that arbitration, it was one of the investors versus Ameriprise, which they had now become, and Ameriprise pulled me in as a third-party respondent. And during that hearing, we actually found out that there were all these things that weren't done properly inside Ameriprise. And in fact, there were reprimands and disciplinary actions that had happened to that same compliance supervisor who was supposed to be supervising me.
Right.
And the result of that hearing was this. Every charge against me, including fraud, including withholding material facts, failure to disclose, and even breach of my franchise agreement, they were all denied in their entirety. FINRA said I did nothing wrong. And they had looked at all the evidence properly. And the weirdest part about it was people said to me, well, we always knew that you were innocent. We couldn't understand what was going on. And, of course, in the criminal justice system, I'm on appeal because that's what the judge told me to do. But I'm also speaking up and using my voice to educate people about why the criminal justice system in New York needs to change.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm confused. So, basically, on one hand, you were forgiven the charges, and then on the other hand, you're doing an appeal.
I am. In the criminal justice system, I'm on appeal because they basically misguided me. My criminal defense attorney misguided me, was guilty to something I didn't do. And then he withdrew, and the judge told me when I got out of Rikers to appeal. So I've been on appeal. But the financial industry, which is a totally different authority, they reviewed it in their hearing last year, 4 years, 3 years, excuse me, after I had gotten out of Rikers, and they said, no, she didn't do it. So, you know, for a lot of people, it's confusing, but it's
hard.
Yeah,
it is kind of confusing. So you're still on appeal right now.
In the criminal justice system,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that.
But
yeah.
In the financial industry, they've already said that I'm innocent.
Right. So... Okay, yeah, it's mind-boggling, actually. So,
well, it is, and you know, to live through something like this and have people try to take away your life, for a lot of people, they've told me I never would have made it. I never would have been able to do what you did, and that's part of the reason why I speak about it, I teach about it, I talk to people about why you have the right to remain fabulous and why it's so important for me to fan the flames of the human spirit and in the various ways that I do.
Yeah,
and when Michelle and I, you know, we created this event, Get Your Voice On, because we know, I mean, we realize that, you know, we're those crazy kids who, you know, we're loud and yes, you know, we talk about everything
right.
with people and you know, we speak from the platform and we talk internationally about the things that we feel are important. And we know other people don't.
Yeah,
and
you know, I did want to ask you a question about your time in Rikers Island, and because you talked about how you were always very outspoken from the time you were a child,
yes.
And were you just as outspoken when you were in Rikers Island?
It's a great question, and lo and behold, well, one of the things that I did do is I was really prepared by my Aikido sensei, Don Cardoza, from the Wellness Resource Center in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. And one of the rules that he gave me was don't make any friends and don't be your nice, helpful self inside. Well, God had another plan, Andrea, and this is what happened. A lot of people approached me. A lot of the inmates approached me. I had books that had been sent to me. I had articles. I had a woman who didn't know how to read, and she asked me for help. I taught her how to read while she was there. I helped other people. And the woman who was in the bed next to me, because I was in a general dormitory with no doors, it wasn't a cell block I was in. I was literally in an open room of 50 beds where anybody could be attacked at any time. It was very harrowing. And one of the things that I really did was I believed that there was someone that I was supposed to help. And what I learned was the woman that was in the bed next to me She hated herself and her life and all the people in it. And I actually facilitated personal growth and personal development exercises with her. I read and discussed poetry with her. I let her borrow the book and read the book, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And,
right.
You know, she transformed right before my eyes. And when I saw that things, you know, in the prison weren't really working in a way that was positive and actually supportive for the inmates, I found ways. I wrote 6 letters to the warden when I was there, actually telling her about the different officers that I observed that were doing positive things to support the inmates, and I thought she should know about it. Now I'm an inmate. I'm supposed to be invisible. I'm not supposed to talk, right?
Right.
But I really felt that it was important for the warden to know. And one of the things I did with the deputy warden is I suggested 2 things. I said, you really need a personal development program here so that these women can learn how to be more confident with themselves and, you know, go on to live their lives instead of the recidivism rates being so high. And the other thing that I suggested, because around the prison they had these inmate complaint boxes, so I said to her, well, what if you had, what if you actually had officer appreciation boxes, like instead, where inmates actually could drop a note to the warden and say, hey, this officer did this nice thing that was really helpful for me, and I think you should know about it, kind of like the letters that I was writing. And she ended up at the end of my time there being very supportive. She brought, I was actually the representative for my dormitory there at that point. And she brought the programs director for the prison to that meeting and asked me to stand up and actually talk about both of these ideas. So, you know, people may say, well, Get Your Voice On scares me, or I don't have permission, or I'm really afraid. But you
right.
know what? I did it inside one of the most violent prisons in the nation.
Yeah.
And I've done it in corporate America. And I've done it as a wee little kid, and I've done it as an adult. And
yeah.
I've done it in relationships. I've done it in family conversations. I've done it, you know, in intimate, you know, partner relationships. Here's the deal. Andrea,
yeah.
when you speak up, when you get your voice on, things change. When you make that choice, your life is going to change, and I've got news for you. So is everybody else's. And
you know what's really interesting
said,
about, yeah, I love these stories, but, you know, very interesting because for Michelle, the strength for you and the transformation came from you going into silence. And Jennifer, for you, it came from speaking out loud, if you know what I mean. So
yes.
for one of you, it was a more of an inner thing. And another for, I mean, both of, I mean, we're always working on the inner level. But it just, one of you, it was more of an inner transformation. And the other was more of an outer, more extrovert, if you know what I mean. If you can, it's very fascinating just listening to both stories, and seeing, and then of course the two of you have come together. So you've got to tell us about that, how the two of you connected. And I love
sure.
the stories. The stories are just amazing and so powerful. So thank you for sharing your stories.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking, because I agree with you. I think one of the best parts of sharing our voices is when we have an opportunity to meet someone, to learn from someone, and to get to know someone. And, you know, it's so interesting that you said that, too. And I don't know about Jennifer, but I never really thought of it that way, that, you know, my journey started when I shut up.
Right.
And Jennifer started to
wrap up.
I didn't say
it like that, Michelle.
No.
Michelle, that sounds like something Jennifer would say, right?
And I will tell you this, Andrea, and I will tell you this. When I, you know what, because I speak at spiritual centers. I am a keynote speaker, all these different things. It really depends on my audience. How I describe it is I go within.
I go within and I embrace the silence and the stillness.
Right.
Some people, when they hear that, they're like, what are you saying? I'm like, I basically shut up. So that's, you know, more people can understand the shut up part. But no, I know that you didn't say that.
No, I'm just joking. I loved it, though. No, I actually loved it. I was joking because I was saying that that sounded like something Jennifer might say.
Well,
it's,
you know what?
Right, Jennifer, because you had that kind of bluntness, you know, that kind of straightforward sort of, and I love that.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Jennifer and I definitely complement each other, and I think what's interesting about our journeys as well, regardless of how we got to them, is that, you know, for myself, and I know this has happened to Jennifer too, is we're very good, we're wonderful at speaking out for others. I've always been somebody else's champion, always. But it's 100% okay to give myself permission to be my own champion. And,
right on, girl.
And that is a big part of Get Your Voice On. And as we were talking about sharing stories, Jennifer and I met, 2 years ago now, at a conference that was held in New York City that was geared toward entrepreneurs. And she and I had mutual acquaintances that we had just actually met separately, and both said, you need to meet Jennifer. Jennifer, you need to meet Michelle. And we're like, great. And it just so happened that we were attending a cocktail party during one of the evenings. Because, you know, conferences, every evening there's something. There's something that brings people together. And they're usually called networking events, which always kind of makes me get all like, because and it's unfortunate, Andrea, it's unfortunate because networking has kind of gotten a bad rap. Because it became the end thing. Oh, you have to network. Oh, you have to network. Oh, you have to network. Make sure you have your business card. Make sure that you pass out at least 50 business cards a night, because it's a numbers game. And out of those 50, you'll at least get 5 people that connect.
Right.
And when you have that mentality, you are just coming in and all you're thinking about is, okay, I have to pass out, 50 business cards, 5 people, boom, boom, boom. And you are not even finishing your name as you are handing somebody your business card. For me, I don't want your business card. That's not the first thing I want you to give me. I want to learn about you. I want to know about you. And this event that Jennifer and I met at, I don't even know that we actually exchanged business cards, to be perfectly honest. I don't even remember that part.
That's funny, yeah.
Because what it was about, Andrea, and it was about getting to hello. How can we get to hello? Because that also can be very scary, especially if you're going to an event where you don't know anyone else, where you have given yourself permission, you have stepped into that power that you're going to an event to meet people, to change something, to learn something. And getting to hello can be very frightening, because what you are doing is you are owning how spectacular, how fabulous your wow factor is. And Jennifer and I just hit it off right away because we started sharing each other's story. We were asking where we grew up and what brought us here, and not just what do you do for a living, but who are you? What are you? What makes your heart sing? What brings you passion? And the night just flew, and as she and I were talking and we were sharing our journeys, which were very different but very powerful, because we both had individual challenges and what I like to call teachers, with quotes in front of them, that show up when we don't ask for them. And what was wonderful is that it was clear to me that Jennifer was listening to what I had to say, and she knew that I was listening to what she had to say. There was eye contact. I can't tell you how frustrating it is when you're meeting someone and you're trying to find their eyes. You're like, hello, you know, and you're bouncing all over the place. And it was spectacular. And when I left that night, I was, I remember speaking to my husband and I said, you know, I met this really amazing woman tonight, and I can't tell you why or how I know this, but she's going to be in my life forever, and we are going to end up creating something together. And I have no idea what that is, but I know that I know that I know. Yeah. And we, you know, and we just stayed in contact. And it wasn't just Jennifer. There was, you know, there was a couple of other women as well that were just very powerful that night. And I have to say, what moved me the most is up until that point in my life, I could really count on one hand the amount of close, bonding, powerful, sassy, sexy, dynamic women I had as friends in my inner circle. Because I am not the typical woman that you hear the stereotype about. I'm not into gossip. I'm not into, you know, I love sports. I love baseball. I love football. I like hanging out with the guys. You know, I like getting dirty as well as being pretty and dressing up. And I'm proud that I'm smart, and I love that I'm funny and all this stuff. And I never found that solid circle of women that I felt supported that. And it's grown so much since I put out there that that's what I want, because I know that there are women like me who are looking for women who support one another for a greater good. Support them in what they want to create, and in turn, you get supported. And I knew that I was going to have that with Jennifer without question.
Yeah.
And from that meeting, you know, we did lunch. We're both tea freaks, and I happen to be a wine freak, but that's my own thing. And you know, we just started this mastermind group, and then from there, we had this amazing opportunity, or I should say, I had an amazing opportunity to work with Jennifer on an event in March of, gosh, Jennifer, 2011. We're in 2012, 2011. I'm so blurred with the times now. And it was the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day. And it was an event that was taking place in cities throughout the world. And it just so happened that Jennifer was asked to be the regional director for New York City. And she pulled together a team of women to help her in this portion of the world that celebrated that day. And it was a one-day event. It was held in the middle of the week here in Manhattan for our portion of this amazing day. And I basically said to Jennifer, what do you need? How can I support you? How can I support this? Because for starters, 100 years of celebrating women on an international scale, not just locally, globally. Who
right.
would want to be a part of that? To
yeah.
learn from the women that stepped out on courage and faith before us, and to see how we've grown, and also to share ideas and things like that. And so, you know, Jennifer might share a little bit more about that from her perspective, because it was challenging. Doing any sort of event is challenging. And during the event, which we'd have limited control over, it was good. But I kept telling Jennifer, I kept passing her these little notes saying, you know, we're supposed to do a conference. It wouldn't be like this. And I just kept sending her like all these like little notes. And she's like, Michelle, let me get through this. You're killing me. I know. And, you know, the event was over and she was like, I'm done. And not from the perspective of not wanting to continue with her platform, which is very much in alignment with mine, is about the empowerment of men and women, but specifically in this case, how we can bring women together to get their voice on. And it took about 6 months, and, you know, just every once in a while shooting that email saying, you know, whenever you want to talk about this, you know, we can do lunch. And so during one of our lunches, we just started a discussion. And again, what made it powerful, Andrea, and for me, these are some of my more powerful realizations, is when they're organic, when
yeah.
I don't go in there trying to control, because I got to tell you, I like control. That is
yeah.
the one thing for me that I have continued to work on, that sometimes, a lot of the times, I just have to let go of the how. I have to let go of how it's going to show up, how
right.
it's going to look, because if I try to control too much, then I'm not following that guidance from that still small voice, which is so powerful.
And also, we can't control everything. And,
no.
and sometimes we have to learn to let go, wouldn't you say? Which is, I think, what happened when you went into that silence, you know?
Oh, because, for sure. Talk
yeah.
about talk about letting go. and so we did. You know, we didn't really put a definition as to what it was going to look like. It was more of Jennifer and I just really sharing just how much we want women to know that they matter, that they are worth it, that they are worth the time to dedicate to themselves to live a life that they love, and that it is possible, and that, you know, to think limitlessly versus holding on to lack and limiting thoughts, to
right.
understand
yeah.
to understand that, you know, having a voice and going through transformation is different for everyone, and that's okay as well. We don't need to compare and compete with one another because we're at different stages on our journey. And so as we are bouncing around my apartment, as Jennifer and I tend to do, and if you could see me right now, I haven't been sitting still since the interview started. I'm like dancing around my home
yeah,
office.
I can kind of visualize you.
Yeah, it's hard
but
to
But you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to ask Jennifer
yeah.
if you could just give me your impression of Michelle when you first met.
I love this question.
You love this question, huh? I didn't, you know, I have to tell you, I have a list of questions that I made up and some other questions that your great publicist sent me. I haven't even gotten through them yet, so I'm just going with the flow here. But I did want to ask you what your impression was when you first met. I mean, it just seems like the perfect connection from me, from what I'm observing, just listening to both of you. So it's nice hearing you both share.
Well, you know, it's really fascinating when you actually meet somebody that not only do you resonate with what they're saying, but you understand their whole being and their spirit. And, you know, one of the things that I really enjoyed about Michelle was that she was very positive like I was. And she was one of those people who reminded me of that three-year-old inside me that was like, hi, you know, who are you? And, you know, what do we have in common? Like, you know, what do you do? And, you know, what do you like doing when you're doing that? And what's so important to you about that? And, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about getting to hello, which Michelle mentioned, is I want to know all those things. Like, I'm one of those people where when you meet me, I have 100 questions that I want to know about you because I want to know, you know, who are you and what are you up to? And, like, who do I know that I could connect you with that might be able to help you take what you're doing and do it that much more or that much further or reach that many more people with it, you know? And it's one of those things where I come with an open heart. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Jennifer, I've come with an open heart and I've gotten bitten so many times, my heart is closed. Like, I'm out, you know, gone fishing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but you know what? You can't allow those teachers that Michelle mentioned, you can't allow them to close your heart to others that really could be just divinely put in your path so that you could absolutely create something magnificent that could serve humanity.
Right.
And, you know, when I met Michelle, look at all the things that had happened to me. I had every reason to be bitter. I had every reason not to talk to anybody. I had every reason to say, you know, who are you? What are you going to do to me? You know, but I didn't. I basically met Michelle and I liked her energy and I liked what we were talking about. And I liked learning about what she spoke about and why it was so important to her to get that out in the world. Because I'm one of those people, I really mean it, I'm one of those people who fans the flames of the human spirit. And I
yeah.
believe that, you know, when we do that, Andrea, we absolutely, it takes all of us to move humanity and mankind forward. It's not a one-person job, it's an everybody job. And the thing that I really enjoyed about Michelle was that she shared that soul connection with me. And I really saw that. I really got that in the first conversation I had with her. It wasn't just, hey, here's my card, call me.
Right.
It was, wow, look at this woman. You know, look at what she's doing in the world. And look at the people that she's probably affecting. And
wow, you know, there's something here, kind of like what Michelle was saying. There's something here for us to do, and I have no idea what it is, but
yeah.
we should hang out and see what happens, see what presents itself so that we can do that thing. And the most incredible thing that happened was when I was stomping around in, you know, her apartment one day on my little rant, and I was like, darn, you know, we should be encouraging people to get their voice on, and what would happen if everybody spoke up and suddenly just threw all their fears out the window and said, hey, I want to do this, or hey, I don't know what the heck I can do to do this, but I want to get involved, or I want to be a part of somebody else's thing that's doing this.
Right.
And on and on and on. And Michelle just looked at me and she said, get your voice on. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that kind of thing. But I'll tell you something, Andrea. If we don't approach people with that open heart and that getting to hello and that desire to connect, how
right.
can you ever get to that collaboration? How can you ever create something meaningful locally and globally that really rocks humanity and pushes mankind in a direction that serves everybody? How can you do that if your heart is closed?
Right.
I mean, it's just not possible. And the thing that I know is that with everything that I've been through and everything that I've lived through, you know, I'm a kid who was diagnosed with Crohn's disease at 11 years old, which
yeah.
is a debilitating digestive disorder that really I should be just laying on the floor exhausted and weak, and I am not.
Obviously,
you know,
yeah. yeah.
I mean, you have to stand up in your own life and say, you know, it's time for my voice to be heard.
Yeah.
And you have to go and put that voice in the right ears. You know, gossip, there are lots of, you know, sayings about gossip. And the thing is, if you're going to use that voice of yours, and boy, is it powerful. If you have any doubt, those of you who are listening, your voice is powerful. All you have to do is open up that big, beautiful mouth of yours and start talking.
Yeah, it's so important to speak up. And I love your stories. I think the stories are just amazing. Each of you, actually, I could do one show with each of you. But I just thank you so much for sharing the stories. And I think the stories are so important in terms of kind of laying the groundwork on this whole program, Get Your Voice On. And certainly your experiences, you know, how you were able to you know, just the power of your own voice and how you were able to get to that point, Michelle, and even you, Jennifer, even though you did speak up. I mean, you really just listening to that whole story about how you went through Rikers Island and how you ended up just being so powerful by reaching out and helping others. So perhaps the reason you were there is because you were there to help to empower others who felt powerless. And certainly when you get into prison, it's a place that you think that you're powerless, that maybe your life is over, that there's nothing left for you.
Yes.
And so, yeah, these are amazing stories. So let's talk about, you know, the program and Get Your Voice On, a celebration of women. You know, I think you've kind of explained what the purpose of it is.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just kind of just get into more detail about the whole program, the whole vision, you know, how it started out in terms of what you were seeing initially, you know, just how it's evolved, and I'm sure it's going to evolve even more. If I speak to you, say, in 3 or 4 months, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot more to it than right now, because it's probably moving very quickly and changing and growing and so tell us about that.
It's exciting. It's most certainly exciting. You know what's interesting is that when we first started planning this, when that divine idea presented itself and we started working on it, we initially thought that we were going to do it this past March, March of 2012.
Right.
And the reason being, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Andrea, as well as many of your listeners, when that divine idea presents itself and you know that it is yours to do, you wish that you started it yesterday. And
right.
We were so empowered by this idea, this event, that we wanted it to, everyone needs it, they need it, we need to do this. And we ended up taking time to breathe, and we started meeting with others in industries that support events and conferences, just to get some guidance from people that have done it.
Right.
As well as the people that we would want to work with, that we would want to bring into our inner circle. And they all said to us, do you realize how big this is? And they really made us take a look at just, wow, what we are trying to create. Because I don't know that we've mentioned it yet, but March 1st and 2nd of 2013 is the first Get Your Voice On event and conference. We are committed to do this for a decade. This will be a 10-year conference.
Right.
And in doing something like that, it is bigger. There's a lot more planning. And so the first thing we did is we made the decision that it was going to be the following year, 2013, because of the planning.
Right.
And also we decided that instead of it being in the middle of the week, that it needed to be on a weekend, and it needed to be in March, because March is Women's History Month, and I don't know how many people are aware of that.
Right.
And moving forward, it will always be the first weekend in March. It will also always be in New York City. We don't plan on having a conference that there's, you know, that on the same day it's in New York City and it's in San Francisco and it's in Chicago. It will always have its home base in New York City. That's not to say that people won't be able to stream some of the keynotes and things like that, which we are talking about, but its home base is New York City. This is the capital of so many industries. So many people flock to New York City. The energy, and we knew that this was our home. And considering, again, both Jennifer and I live, work, and play here, we knew that this is where its home was going to be.
Right.
And we also knew that there were a lot of people that want to attend conferences, and they get nervous. And again, it's all about that getting to hello. So we knew that we wanted to start the day before. So the Get Your Voice On event is actually a day and a half event. It's going to start Friday evening. And that Friday evening, the women that attend that part, and we hope it's everyone that does both days, but that is about learning, honoring, and celebrating who and what we are, and meeting people either with like-minded interests or somebody completely different in a completely different industry, a completely different maybe part of their life or part of their journey. And Jennifer and I are going to be hosting and facilitating an event that night, an activity, if you will, that will allow people to ignite, start, step into action, and learn about getting to hello. We are going to have entertainment that night. There's going to be food, and there's going to be vendors that night, vendors that support women's issues, concerns, transformation, transition. And you know what, Andrea? Not just the typical companies that you might think, because women aren't just about clothes and beauty products. So
right.
We want.
Yeah, that's another thing. We were talking about this, Michelle,
yes,
earlier today. The whole thing about demographics, which in our discussion, I was telling you how I really get turned off by that whole demographic thing, because you can't really put anyone in a bag, and certainly women, you can't do that.
Right.
I mean, we're all three of us, we're all women, and, you know, but we're into different things. So I don't know why it is that marketers or why they want to just put us all in one bag and say that all women do this. And I don't understand that. I never did, even as a child.
I know you said that, which I think is great.
I know we were talking about that.
Yeah.
That women are into, you know, some women are very athletic and some people are very, you know, women are very artistic and some are very much into technology and some women are, you know, a mixed bag. They're a little bit into this and a little bit into that. You know what I mean?
And some women are trying to figure it out. Some
right.
women are trying to say, you know what? I have given so much to my family, my loved ones, and my friends that I have forgotten what makes my heart sing.
Right.
And that's why when you and I were discussing the demographics, you know, when Jennifer and I were looking at this, what we did know for sure was the age. We wanted to make sure that we brought the young woman into this. So
right.
the age does start at 16. I think that it is extremely important. As
yeah, I think that's great. I think it's good that you're bringing
yes.
it because, you know, at 16, you might be trying to figure things out. And certainly
Absolutely.
At 16, it's great to see a woman there at 45 or 50 or whatever age who was 16 at some point, right?
Absolutely.
Who did not know what they wanted to do or where they wanted to go, but yet they figured it out. I mean, it's so important at 16 to see different ages, to see how women evolve throughout time. So I think it's great to have that mix, you know, to connect.
Sure, you know what? And you know, we want the young women to get there to learn about leadership, to learn about what it means for them to be stepping into their power. But I have to tell you, and I know both Jennifer and I have also met some young women who could teach those of us that are in our 40s and in our 50s a thing or two, you know, because they haven't forgotten that energy, that creativity, and that passion. So I
right.
think it's going to be wonderful. So as far as any sort of demographic, 16 up to 150.
Right.
Welcome. Come through those doors. As far as type and things like that, this event is for every woman. And that is everything from the Fortune 500 CEO executive to the stay-at-home mom.
Right.
We all have a voice, and it means something to each person because we're unique, and this event is going to honor and support that. So Friday is all about bringing that together and learning from, again, each other, learning about getting to hello, seeing the various vendors, both from the for-profit as well as the not-for-profit. It's really important to us that we teach people and represent social responsibility as well.
Right.
And then on Saturday, it's a whole day of celebration, connecting, creating, and collaborating. We're going to have keynote speakers in the morning and the afternoon. We are going to have breakout sessions, and these breakout sessions will have themes. And the breakout session in the morning, there will be a team track as well as a team track in the afternoon. And, again, we are still working on what these panels will look like, but they will touch upon those ideas and areas that support the theme of getting your voice on.
Right.
We're going to have bands. You were sharing with me earlier about how your show will highlight the original artist. We're
right.
going to have that. We're going to have an author's corner, which I know is near and dear to Jennifer's heart because, you know, we're both best-selling authors. Jennifer is an amazing book consultant, and she has a passion for people that have the willingness to say, yes, you know what, there's a book in me. We are also going to have what I am so excited about is the Get Your Voice On booth. The Get Your Voice On booth is going to be staffed
I love
by
that.
Yeah, right? The Get Your Voice On booth is going to be staffed by celebrities who are going to be interviewing the women who are attending the conference who want to say or share their message, whatever that is. And they are going to have an opportunity to be on camera, and we will be streaming those messages throughout the day. And we'll and the lunch, we're going to have this wonderful platform panel during lunch. And then in the evening, it's going to be wrapped up with an after party. What I love about this event, and I know that Jennifer has a lot of other things to add to, and I have goosebumps right now, I have to tell you. I don't know about you, too. I just got goosebumps.
I love that Get Your Voice On Booth. I just love that.
You know
I love that title.
Here's what
just get in that booth and speak up.
No, exactly. It's like here's your chance, and whatever it is. And again, you know, it could be, as I was sharing with Andrea earlier, I'm excited that I took a shower today. I have a 6.5-month-old son who is amazing, and I took a shower. And if you have, if anybody that's been a mom out there gets how important that message is. Yes, I took a shower, and I felt good, and I took care of myself. One of the things that I think makes this event so different is that Jennifer and I do not want people just to walk through that door, sit in their chair with their legal pad or their iPad taking notes.
Right.
This event supports and fosters you to meet people, to actually engage, to collaborate. There are going to be microphones where you are going to be able to ask questions of the keynotes during these breakout sessions. There are going to be activities which are going to challenge you to step outside of your comfort zone if you're willing to say yes. That doesn't happen at every conference, and
right.
that will be happening for the next decade with us.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, it sounds like it's a really, really going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. And Jennifer, did you have anything that you wanted to share about the conference or the celebration, actually? Because I noticed, and you know, another thing is you call it a movement, which is interesting.
Yes.
It's and why would you say it's a movement more than anything else?
Well, you know, one of the most interesting things about the word movement is that oftentimes when people move, they move forward. Have you ever
right.
noticed that?
Yeah, that's true. They don't go backwards, do they?
No, usually it's about moving something forward.
Right.
And for us, this really is a movement because when women and men and children of all ages, I'll say, actually open their mouths and get their voice on, things move. And so we're doing Get Your Voice On for 10 years. And Michelle and I, when we were talking about this, we're like, wow, I wonder what's going to change as a result of this after 10 years. And we both kind of looked at each other and said, this is a movement. This is something that's going to push things forward we can't even articulate right now.
Right.
And we may not even be able to imagine. And what would happen? It's kind of like, you know, what Michelle was talking about, you know, what would happen if I could not fail? Well, the interesting thing is, what would happen if you open your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And you actually talked about something, and you actually then did something and took that baby step, and you played Mother May I for real in the real world, and you took that baby step, and then you took that next baby step, and
right.
you actually did something that was meaningful to you. How many people and how many hearts would you touch if you just did that? How many people in your local community could you actually affect and impact and inspire to actually do the same things if you just opened your mouth? It's
yeah.
something that, you know, when Michelle and I actually conceived this, one of the most important things that we wanted to zero in on, I'll call it, is what is it, where is the spark? Where does it happen? When do things start to change? And, you know, you can hold it inside you. You can have it in your heart. You can have every good intention.
Right.
But the second you give that intention a voice and you actually start talking about it, movement occurs. So why is this a movement? Because it is impossible not to have this be a movement. If we have all these people opening their mouths, which Michelle and I are like so excited about, what would possibly happen to humanity? We can't even tell you
what would happen because we're excited to see what the result is. It's kind of like, you know, when people march or when people decide that they're going to do something, like even go back to Martin Luther King. You know, all of these people, we talk about what they did as a movement. And what happened was people opened their hearts, they opened their mouths, they did something, and things changed. And for us, we want you who are listening, we want you to understand that this is so important. This is a life-changing thing, not just for you, but for so many other people. And all you have to do in order to jump into the movement type of thing is open your mouth.
Right. And anyone anyone can do that. And then there are people who will say, well, but I really don't have anything to say. And what do you say to that person who says, I really don't have anything to say? I mean, I'm just genuinely quiet. and we've all met people like that. And like you said, which is very powerful, when someone who is very quiet most of the time, I mean, if you go back in your life and think about being in classes or in situations, in meetings or whatever, it doesn't matter whether it's a classroom, a corporate meeting, someone who's always quiet, when they do speak, people do listen.
Oh, yes, they certainly do.
You're like, wow, I never heard that person's voice. And, you know, and you wonder sometimes what moved them to speak. And usually I've noticed the reaction is like, wow, that was powerful what they said. I never knew that about that person, that they I don't know if you've gone. I've had that happen where I've been in situations where someone was just always quiet, but for some reason they were moved to speak. And it was like, God, I'm so glad they said that. And then, and it resonated with so many people, and you could feel that, you know, you could feel that everyone felt the same way.
Well, you know, one of the most fascinating things that happens with people who don't speak that often is they listen very closely. So when they're that person who says, I don't have anything to say, I always say, yes.
Right. Right.
Because
right.
What you're talking about is exactly what happens, is all of a sudden, magically, something will move them to speak. And exactly what you said is what I've seen, too. So I want to echo what you said. When that person starts speaking, it's almost like that old joke about E.F. Hutton. Everybody wants to hear what that person has to say, because what they don't maybe understand or realize is that that person has been listening a lot, very closely, and the whole time.
Yeah.
And they actually have something to say because they finally have reached their yet. And now it's their moment where they actually have welled up inside this idea that they now want to communicate or they want to comment on or they want to share their feelings or share their opinion or share an idea that they've been either carrying inside or developing inside or listening to and saying, well, we could do that and all of a sudden they start talking. Everybody turns and says, who is that?
Right.
And what is she or he saying? Because I want to know.
Right.
And I totally agree with you. So my answer to your question is always yes.
Yeah. So what we have here is it's open pretty much to all women from 16 on. And you really are open to hearing what they have to say from age 16 up to 99. And, of course, there are going to be a variety of events. And so is it open to men as well, men who support women and who want to hear what women have to say?
I love that question. And I have to tell you that the first time Jennifer and I were asked, I don't want to say that we were taken aback. It was just because who actually asked us were men. We were asked by men during a radio interview. And I was like, wow, because they were just so connecting to the message that we were putting out there. And I love sharing this story. It's a night of stories, which I love. During this interview,
that, you know, that Jennifer and I did together, this gentleman was sharing how he is a single father of six children.
Right.
Six children, single parent. He has custody of these kids. And he said, you know, oftentimes I am told, oh, you're an inspiration, you know, you're a single parent. And he said, you know what? He goes, I don't like being called that. He said, because I'm not a single parent. He said, I'm a dual parent. He said, because sometimes I am the dad, and I have to tap into that. He said, and other times I'm the mom, and I need to be able to tap into that as well. And
right.
for him to be able to share that, number one means he tapped into vulnerability and allowed himself to be vulnerable on a national radio show, which I find extraordinary.
Right.
And so I think that absolutely, as far as Jennifer and I are concerned, if you feel called to be a part, to attend this conference, to attend this event, then definitely those doors are open for you, because we're finding not only do men want to support women in this idea of getting their voice on, many men struggle with the same thing.
Right.
And that is what I find powerful, and that's another reason why I think that Get Your Voice On is a movement. This isn't something that happens in a day and everything has changed and every sort of challenge you've ever been through in your life is magically healed and all is better. No,
right.
It could be that one layer of that onion has been peeled away, and you are on that journey toward healing, or you're on that journey towards a transformation or transition or whatever your journey is. So the simple fact that men want to be a part of this, coming from a place of integrity and want to support, absolutely. We have companies out there that the CEO, the founder, are men, and they understand the importance of women as consumers, as business women, as
right.
the single mom, as the stay-at-home parent who's making the decisions. They understand the power. They understand that they need to understand more what women want and what we care about in all areas of our
right.
lives, not just the traditional ones, as well as, hey, if men feel like, you know what, we haven't found a place for ourselves yet where we can learn about getting our voice on and doing so compassionately, learning how to compassionately communicate and know that that's okay, and we're going to have an opportunity to learn about that, absolutely, you're welcome.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. And certainly, like you said, men really need to hear what we have to say. I think, anyway. Now, I thought I read on your site, and that was some time ago, something about scholarships that you're planning to give scholarships. I don't know if that's going to be in the first year or further down the road.
We're actually going to introduce that scholarship information later in the year as we get closer to March 1st and 2nd of next year, 2013.
Right.
And we'll be explaining more about how that process and application for that program will work at that time. But one of the things that Michelle and I knew is that even though when people see our pricing, some people may say, oh my God, that's so cheap. We also know that there are other people where they don't have that money. They
right.
don't have that money to come. And one of the things that we discussed was that no matter how many scholarships we can give, it's not about that. It's about making sure that we do our part to open it to as many people as we possibly can, even if we start small in the first year. One of the
right.
things that Belle and I share, which I'm so pleased about and very, very blessed and grateful for, is that we both have philanthropic hearts.
Right.
And when you have a philanthropic heart, you understand that just because you find something so great for people.
You know what? Your voice is breaking up a little bit more.
Let me try this. You know, one of the things that's so important
is right. that when you design something that's so cool and a really good idea and all these things,
right.
one of the things that you have to realize and recognize is that people, not everybody can come. Not everybody has the wherewithal or the position or place in their life where they can do that. And Michelle and I understand that. And like we've both been saying, this is about humanity. This isn't about a slice of humanity. This is about humanity. And just imagine if one of those people who comes on a scholarship and gets an idea or comes with an idea and understands how to do it in a particular way or connects with a certain person and meets them in a very powerful, meaningful way there and talks about what they want to get their voice on about in the Get Your Voice On booth and meets a best-selling author in the author signing corner and listens to a keynote and says, you know, I can do this. I really can, and I want to talk to as many people as I possibly can and walks out of there.
Right.
Why does it have to be the person who's not there on a scholarship? It could be anybody that
right.
could really do anything. And Michelle and I agreed that even if it's one ticket, you know,
right.
we basically want to establish that program in year one so that we are cognizant and we are including in our presentation of this event, this opportunity is for everybody.
Now, you're seeking partners, corporate partners. I mean, that could actually be something that perhaps they could do, is sponsor, you know, in addition to just sponsoring the program, is maybe sponsor some people so they can attend those, you know, that might not be able to afford it, like you say. And it's also open to women from all over the world as well, correct?
Absolutely, yes, for sure. You know, Get Your Voice On isn't just for people living in New York City, and we happen to know that there are going to be women from all over the world that are going to come and want to come. And I find that so exciting because, again, what's amazing about the world we live in right now, Andrea, so for example, right now the three of us are having this amazing conversation. And right now, anybody who has access to the Internet, regardless of where they are, can be listening in as if they were in the same room with us.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
And
ladies, they will be listening to the archive as well, which is really wonderful.
Exactly. And so that is what I love about the time that we're living in now is that we can look at technology as something that is disconnecting the human individual, or we can look at it the way I choose, that it is allowing humans from all walks of life, from all over the world, to connect. We get
right.
to learn about one another. We get to support one another. We get to listen. We get to share. And with the goal that we step away from the laptop, away from the iPad, away from the computer, and we show up to do the face-to-face.
Right.
But right now, the whole world global, that word global, at one time just seemed too large to even fathom. And now that word global, we can work together on so many things as if we were living on the same block, on the same street, in the same building. So we are hoping that women come from all over the world because each culture has something unique to share. And I love that. That's one of the things I love about travel. When my husband and I travel, we try to stay where the locals stay. I don't want to stay where the tourists stay. I want to eat the way the locals do. I want to go to where they go to listen to music and theater and architecture. And, gosh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to see who shows up.
Well, you know, another thing that's really great is if you have highlights, which you talked about. You talked about having highlights or some streaming on the Internet. that opens it up as well to people for whatever reason. If they can't travel, they can certainly see some of the highlights, maybe if not during the event, afterwards, which is really wonderful. You know, because you can actually archive all of the, because you're going to do 10 of them at least, but you can always archive certain highlights so that each event will promote the next one just by the highlights. And, I mean, it could just, every year it'll just grow and grow. I mean, it's certainly, you know, with the UN being right there in New York City, it certainly is a good reason for people from around the world to visit New York City. So it would be great. And if they can't go, you know, there's the wonderful internet, which, as you were saying, just it makes us so closer with all the social networking and YouTube and everything else. So it really can reach out to a large audience. That it goes beyond those who are physically there.
Definitely, definitely. And like I said, we plan on definitely providing and working on the streaming for our keynote, and we will be recording what happens in the breakout sessions. And,
right.
And Jennifer and I are still working with our technology team on how that can be presented at a later time to download or watch. As you said, this is forever evolving. And knowing that, you know, it's exciting because we know that we are committed to 10 years of this event. And at the same time, there's so many things we want to do in this year one. So we've already started, like, okay, you know, there's only so many hours in a day and a half event, and it's wonderful knowing that we've got other years that
right.
other people, and if they can't make it to year one, they can make it to year two. And,
right.
you know, the other thing, too, that we talked about differences and what makes the Get Your Voice On event so different is that it's continuity. We don't
right.
want the people, when they leave the after party Saturday night, feeling wonderful, feeling so much power, and they've met wonderful people, and they are ready, and they are going to step out, and they are going to create this dynamic and delicious life because they're fabulous. To them, go home and wake up the next day, and because they don't necessarily have that kind of support system, all of a sudden, everything that they did, they throw out the window.
Right.
And we are going to make sure that those times in between the actual events, there's a way to stay connected as a community. And
so are you going to have like a social networking group, Get Your Voice
exactly.
On? Yeah, I was thinking that would be perfect.
Yes, we're definitely going to make sure, you know, again, you know, using the social platforms as well to keep people together. Jennifer and I are also talking about how maybe we could also do maybe smaller events or podcasts and things like that keep people connected and focused and motivated and supported during the times in between the events. Because
yeah, that'll be wonderful. I think that's a
yeah.
great idea to do that because, like you say, a lot, and this is the difference between a one-time conference or even a one-time celebration, bringing in that word movement again. It's like it keeps going. So, you know, you have the wonderful event, but then you're moving forward and you still have the connection, which continues, which is so that it continues to build, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, thank you. I know that Jennifer and I are excited about the technology that's going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Now, and one of the most important things is people can actually plug in right now. So if they want to go to our website, they can go to getyourvoiceon.com. And if you're a Twitter person, if you're a Facebook person, you can go to Get Your Voice On now. And if you're a Pinterest person, you can go to the Get Your Voice On page on Pinterest. So this is something that is not really going to start once we get to the event next March.
Right.
It's already happening. This is something that you can jump in and be a part of now leading up to the events. And
celebrating, you know, the understanding who's going to speak there and what the event holds for you and getting to know more about it. So one of the things that Michelle and I know for sure is that continuity is extremely important and one of the keys to helping support you while you get your voice on. And maybe it's the first time you are getting your voice on. But
right.
We know that we want to stand right beside you and support you in a way that others can learn how to do as well. So you can keep getting your voice on. If you could do that, we would be thrilled.
So what can people do if people say, well, I want to get involved right now. I don't want to wait. You know, I'm planning on going to that event, but I want to do something right now, say. What can they do to help if they want to help in any way?
What they can start doing, definitely go to our website, getyourvoiceon.com. The website is up. We've got a bunch of information. Please go back every day. We are going to actually be unveiling something new in the next couple of weeks, which Jennifer and I are excited about. But there are the ways that you can stay connected with us through Facebook, through Twitter, through YouTube. We're going to create a Pinterest page. We have a blog. We are going to be asking for guest bloggers as well as join our mailing list to stay connected, to be updated on new keynotes that that have signed on, to learn about the platform, the breakout session platforms and what those are going to be like, as well as if you want to volunteer and help us out, we are definitely looking for volunteers. You can send emails to connect@getyourvoiceon.com, or, as I said, if you go to the website directly, there will be a link for you to put in your name and your email address and to send us a message, and somebody will be getting in touch with you because we do want to start now. We are starting now, and we're really excited about the team that's coming together. We know that the right and perfect people are being guided toward this event and to also contribute to these early stages. And also, too, if you are interested in being a partner, being a sponsor, you can email us through that website as well. We can send you information about all the various packages that we have. We've already had a tremendous amount of interest from companies and corporations and organizations from all different industries.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. It's funny, one of the things that I read is you say that Get Your Voice On, a celebration of women is going to fulfill some dreams and create new ones. I love that.
Thank you. I think that that was something that just really flowed effortlessly out as we were doing the heartstorming, and it will create some new ones because women are going to have an opportunity to discover, re-examine, and even rediscover these dreams that have always been there, but they might have just pushed really far deep down inside because they didn't think they were important, didn't think they could happen, or maybe were concerned that by having their dreams realized that that might be selfish and that they weren't giving enough back to their families. So we are looking forward to just what women discover and rediscover about themselves.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, did you want to announce any keynote speakers at this point, or do you just want people to continue to check the website? Because I'm sure that you're adding things all the time.
Well, we're very excited to actually be able to share that we are able to announce our first keynote speaker, one of several for the day, which is...
Hello?
Hello, I'm listening.
Many women and men actually don't realize her story. I mean, we all see Mrs. Fields cookies on every block and corner.
Right.
But many people don't know what it took for her to get her voice on in order to make that cookie retail shop on your corner possible.
Oh, so you're going to have Mrs. Fields there.
Yes, we are so delighted that she is going to come and share her story and really help the audience and the people who come to better understand what it really means to get your voice on and what can really happen. I mean, if you're a chocolate chip cookie fan, just imagine if she never opened her mouth.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to open your mouth and put that cookie in it. So, you know, it's something that's very important, and we will be continuing to announce more of the speakers. So it's great for you to plug into us, you know, wherever you want, whether it's our newsletter or one of the social media sites that Michelle mentioned. And really, one of the things that we know is we also have some great people that we'll be announcing very shortly that will be in the Get Your Voice On booth that will be interviewing you as a participant.
Yeah, I love that.
During different times of the day. And we'll also be announcing best-selling authors that will be coming to meet you. And
yeah, your voice faded. I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think Jennifer realized that she cut out when she said Debbie Fields, Mrs. Fields.
Yeah, she clarified it. But I think we lost her, unfortunately. Because she's not on the board. But, yeah, I wanted to tell you something, which is really amazing. I just bought some of her cookies.
Oh, did you really?
Just a couple of days ago. And I have to tell you, I think she's back. I haven't bought, you know, I'm trying to be good with the cookies, you know. But,
right.
Yes. I bought some Mrs. Field cookies just maybe 3 days ago, and it was a small package. I think there are 8 cookies. I've been good. I only had one. I'm trying to hold out, but I think that's hysterical. I was thinking when you said Mrs. Field, well, actually it was your voice cut out a bit, but then when you started talking about Mrs. Field's cookies, it was obvious. But I was thinking, wow, is that? I mean, I haven't bought her cookies in a while, and I have 7 of them waiting for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, her story is so powerful, and her cookies are so delicious that you would never know today what it took for her to do that. And that's one of the reasons why we asked her to be a part of Get Your Voice On.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So people can really understand. Things change. You change people's lives when you get your voice on.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, it's been wonderful connecting with you. I just love your stories and the spirit. And actually, just from hearing your stories, we can really understand why you wanted to call it Get Your Voice On, because that's exactly what you both did, which is, you know, really amazing. And then you took it to another level by connecting and then developing this amazing conference, this spectacular celebration, and this awesome movement. How's that?
Wonderful.
Yeah. Do you have anything else? I mean, we covered a lot, but I don't want to miss anything. Is there anything that you want to share about it? Again, it's March 1st and 2nd. This will be the first one in 2013, which is Women's History Month, of course. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share besides telling people to go to your website, which is www.getyourvoiceon.com?
You know, I just want to say for those women who are wondering if this is the event for them, I think the very fact that they're feeling any sort of energy it's probably more than likely a yes. If they're even questioning it, I am of the belief that we were put on this planet to thrive, and we were put on this planet to honor and celebrate who and what we are. And this event will allow you to do that, as well as support other women, as well as giving back
and just really developing such a strong community that you will be able to take with you and make a difference in your communities. Your life isn't meant to be played small. It's time for us to live our lives big, to own that truth without apology, and we look forward to everyone that is ready to get their voice on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's beautiful.
And I want to add one other thing, because I echo what Michelle said, and I would encourage your listeners to ask themselves this question. Ask yourself this question. Whether you're 16 or 25 or 35 or 45, 55 or 65 or even 75 or 85, when is it time for you to get your voice up? Mm-hmm. When is it your time to get your voice up?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I would have to say it's now is the time, wouldn't you say?
If you're not sure, come to the event.
Right.
Come and be in an environment where it is absolutely phenomenal, fabulous, dynamic, and delicious for you to speak up and use your voice. And if it is your first time, you're going to be surrounded by people that want to hear what you have to say, that are interested. And one of the things that I just re-encourage you to do is ask yourself, when is it going to be my time? And, hey, right now, babe. Right now. It's your time right now.
Yeah, it's your time right now. Yeah, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Well, I have to tell you, I just love what you're doing. I love your spirit, and you certainly are an inspiration, and it's just I'm really moved by your stories. And, you know, what's so great is that we learned from listening to you that regardless of the challenges and how difficult things are, that we can get through tough times. And, you know, it's we can get through tough times and we can get to a better place. And I think that's what's so great about your stories, is that when you were going through, it was like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, there's something to be said for this too shall pass, and all we have to do is just take that step. You know, whether it's a little one or a big one, just take the step, you know, to move forward, to move on to a place, to a better place. And I think that's beautiful. And thank you so much for all that you do to help us to all get our voice on.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure, and hopefully you'll come back and we can feature maybe some of the people who are going to be in the program.
Excellent. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. So maybe we can talk about that soon, you know, maybe something, you know, in the fall.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
It's been wonderful, ladies. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you. You too.
And get your voice on, everybody. All right. I would like to thank our guests, Michelle Mattia and Jennifer Wilkov, for being here to give us information and valuable insights into the wonderful event, the wonderful movement, Get Your Voice On, A Celebration of Women. For more information, please visit www.getyourvoiceon.com. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, here online with Andrea. Make sure you join me next time here on Blog Talk Radio, the citizen's voice on the internet, taking radio to a new interactive and expansive level. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others, and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Thank you so much for listening to Andrea Garrison. Take care.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea with your host, Andrea Garrison.